John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Imagine doing a job where routine is your safety net. Same tasks, same checks, same schedule, every single day. Now imagine doing that job somewhere so isolated that once help leaves, it might not come back for weeks. In December of 1900, three men were assigned to a place exactly like that. Nothing unusual was reported, nothing alarming was written down, but something happened anyway. And over a century later, we're still trying to understand how an ordinary day ended without answers. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky.
Spooky.
Spooky, spooky. Where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride.
The ride.
Oh no, you're doing that again. The echo chamber.
It's just funny because then I hear you editing it. And if you're just on my track, all you hear is just silence, yeah. Silence. Ride.
Yeah, it is really funny. Well, for today's episode, we're actually going outside of the U.S.
Okay.
I'll give you two shots. Where do you think we're going?
North or south, southern.
Oh God, don't ask me about that. Just feel it in your bones. Okay, look at me. Let's see if we can read each other's minds. Okay, ready? Hold on, where are we going?
Wow.
Now imagine. Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm saying it.
Send it to me.
Okay.
I keep getting Italy and Paris.
Try again.
Now I'm getting somewhere in Latin America.
Oh, God, forget it. Okay, we'll work on that. We're actually going to Scotland.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I was in the general direction initially.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you mean like the hemisphere, I guess?
Yes, because Scotland's right next to the UK.
Yeah, up top. Up top, baby boy. Yeah, and we're actually heading to a remote cluster of islands off the coast of Scotland.
Oh.
Called the Flannan Isles.
I don't know why I almost said the Galapagos, and those are nowhere near Scotland.
Isn't that in Chile?
I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Now I gotta hold on one sec. Where are the Galapagos? Damn, we're both off. That's off the coast of Ecuador. Why did I say Chile?
Because you're a special little lady.
I need to look at a map.
Study a map?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ja.
All right. So, Scotland,
yes.
You say.
So, we're going to Scotland today to Flannan Isles, which is one of the islands. Now, this island is, it's remote. I mean, as you can imagine, it's an island.
Wow.
There's no towns. There's no permanent residence.
That's what happens on an island?
Yeah, it's just like rock and ocean. Yeah, it's just rock and ocean.
Wow.
Yeah. But on this specific island that we'll be talking about, there is a lighthouse. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Glass Onion Lighthouse?
No, but you know what? I really have to rewatch that because I fell asleep every time we watched them.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. And you would think.
Daniel Craig is phenomenal. And yeah. There's the new one.
I know. No, I need to rewatch all of them because every time we would watch one, I would fall asleep. I would fall asleep.
Well, I guess I know what we're doing tonight.
Nothing to do with the movie. I think I was just very tired. I just so happen to have been exhausted when we were watching it. But
if I fall asleep, it's a crime.
Oh my God. You fall asleep. We could be watching. We could be watching the most incredible thing ever. And you're like.
To be fair, I fell asleep at Avengers that one time too.
You see what I mean? It doesn't matter with you.
In the theater too. And I woke myself up because I snored and I heard myself and I was like, oh no.
That's bad, brother. That's bad, babes. That's bad. So we're going to be heading to a lighthouse in Flannan Isles. Okay, more specifically, we're going to a lighthouse called the Eileen Moore Lighthouse. Now, from what I was reading, and don't crucify me, but from what I was reading, the Eileen Moore, I think, is the island itself, or that is a lighthouse. Regardless, Eileen Moore, okay? As you can tell from the photos already, it's a very small little lighthouse that's like sitting on this island. It's very, very isolated.
I was going to say, for anyone in the U.S., or I guess anyone in general, it gives Alcatraz as if Alcatraz was just the lighthouse.
Yeah, it's just like, that's a great comparison, because it does kind of give that.
Very cliffy on the side. Yes, it doesn't even look like it would be easy if you pulled a boat right up next to it to get up onto the island.
Yes, which you'll see, there are two like docking stations that you could have, but it's very steep. So like just to get on the island, I mean, you're climbing up. You're climbing up some steps.
Here you go, 20 stories straight up.
Yeah, like it's very, very steep, very steep, very dangerous. It's like you see the lighthouse and then there's like a straight cliff that goes under.
Wow.
Now, before the lighthouse was built, Eileen Moore had no permanent residence. And I learned that the lighthouse was actually one of the first modern structures ever constructed on this island. And any signs of human presence before this lighthouse dated back to ancient times and was likely connected to religious use from what I was reading. A lot of interesting history I was learning about this island. Okay, and this lighthouse, to be exact. And you want to know where I got the idea of covering this episode?
Yes, I would like to know where.
Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. No, remember for, what was it? Sometime last year, I ended up buying this. I don't want to say no more, actually. Let me not. I almost gave it away. Let me not.
Wow.
Okay, so the islands are named after Saint Flann. They were sometimes referred to as the Seven Hunters, but this was never really a place where people would settle long-term, of course. I mean,
it's very... Yeah,
exactly. These are actually kind of places, as you can imagine, that people avoided because of how isolated. There's really nothing going for you here. Also, imagine the rough weather, because it's a very small, remote island, and there's like... waves crashing 24/7. Now, construction of the lighthouse took nearly 4 full years. So as you can imagine bringing supplies here.
All right, yeah. Here's the next 100 bricks.
Yeah, and you have to like face the rough seas, and it's the, like, well, yeah, you saw the straight down cliffs and
this would be considered
weather.
Part of the Drake's Passage, no?
I don't know. That's a good question, man. Now I got to look that up, because where is the Drake's Passage? I've seen some people go on a cruise and I'm putting Drake Passage cruises.
I'm pulling it. It is
it
on.
Looks brutal from what I see. No, baby, that's,
oh wow, it's
maybe
south,
you should look at a map. How do you
under
like
South
that?
America.
How do you like that? By wrong. Antarctica. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's on the butt. It's on the caboose.
The caboose. Interesting.
Yeah. So as you can imagine. Imagine bringing supplies here just to build this lighthouse. It's insane. But when the lighthouse was finally completed, the light was first illuminated on December 7th of 1899.
Damn.
So we're going way
oldie.
Back. Yes. And this lighthouse station included the main lighthouse tower that you see. There's also some living quarters on there, storage sheds, there's fuel rooms, and there's some outbuildings that are pretty much there to hold like supplies and equipment and all that. But pretty much the only time you're going to be spending much time on is this lighthouse. Now, at the time, from what I was reading, a lighthouse, because, okay, I know, I keep talking about lighthouses.
Lighthouses.
I was like, what? I get what the point of a lighthouse is, right? It was supposed to, but I'm like, really, what? I didn't understand, I guess, what the whole point of a lighthouse was. But it was pretty much just to help. It was like a safety measure to help, you know, other ships that are passing by.
No more Titanic issues.
Essentially. Now, the waters around the Flannan Isles were very dangerous, and ships were regularly passing by nearby. So the lighthouse was just meant to make the water safer for those that are traveling by, which makes sense, okay? Now, in the 1800s and early 1900s, shipping was increasing, so a lot of things were going by boat. The navigation tools that they had at the time, as you can imagine, were very, very limited. And a lighthouse could really be the difference between survival and a huge disaster. So at this time, I don't know how it is now. I didn't bother to look see how many lighthouses are active.
I'm sure there's still a lot of active.
I'm sure there's some.
Especially,
yeah.
For example, in Jersey, I know there's a few on the coast that are active. But
nobody's
I don't think there is necessary
right?
now. except because for the most part, the technology that we have has everything mapped out.
Yeah.
So boats follow almost a highway system on the ocean. So everyone's, for the most part, and that's like why when we're on a cruise, you see other cruise ships going the other way and whatnot, because everyone's kind of following similar paths.
Similar paths. Right, right, right. That's good. Hold on. Let me look this up, because now I am. Yeah, that's what it says. Like, most lighthouses are all automated. Oh, with the exception of one.
Oh, really?
Who the hell working at this lighthouse?
It's that guy that we've been seeing on TikTok. I don't know if you guys have seen.
I've seen that, yes.
He gives advice, but it's so windy, you can't hear a single word he says. All you hear is the...
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, and he's talking the whole time, and you don't know what he's saying, and he's just like...
Everyone in the comments is always...
Yes.
You know, that was some really good advice.
Yeah, like, I can't believe you said that. That was crazy. Well, you know what? That's a good example to give, because imagine being on this island with this lighthouse, and then all the only thing around you are these, like, insane waves. It's the ocean, all this stuff. So it's actually really good that you pointed that out, because to be honest, I'm over here thinking I could probably have a pleasant conversation. probably can't.
Depending on the day, you might be able to.
Yeah, depending on the day. Very true, very true. What I'm reading here, it says that the Boston Light is the only manned lighthouse in the U.S. thanks to a law that was passed in 1989. It can be found in the Boston Harbor Islands National Recreational Area and serves as a common attraction for tourists who visit the area. So, wow, there's only one. There's only one manned.
Interesting.
The rest are automated, apparently.
I think the others might be automated, but they're still serviced or have people that regularly check on them to ensure that they're obviously still in operation.
Yeah, of course. But you know, manned by, because where we're going to today, we're going to have lighthouse keepers. Okay. So they don't got that no more.
This.
They don't got this no more. That's what I mean by there's only one that's manned. So I'm assuming it's one that's been taken, that has to be taken care of by someone.
Imagine he has to ride a bike to...
Stop. He's Uber Eatsing it on the way there. He's like, all right, I got to go to my second job.
No, not that.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I was meaning he was right. He has to pedal a bike.
Oh, like a hamster?
Spins the lighthouse
thing. I'd love to see his legs. If that's the case, his legs must be insane. But one of the fun facts that I found out when I was researching this, because I was like, I started going down a spiral of like, what is a lighthouse? And blah, 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 and all this. Plus, I also gravitate towards lighthouse paintings. I think it's a common thing, but it's just very calling, very calming as well.
You are a water person.
Yeah, but it's weird. I don't like the water.
Yeah, don't get
so
that one.
So I'm not going anywhere knees deep in any type of water, but which is funny because I love going on cruises, but I'm like the poster child, don't love the ocean whatsoever.
Ali's the beach person. I'm the one that's going free diving to go try to swim with anything I can find.
Yeah, I'm on the sand. So one of the fun facts that I found is that every lighthouse had a very unique light pattern. So that's how sailors could actually identify where they were.
That is actually really cool. And
yeah,
also
right?
Sounds so complicated.
I know. When I read that, I was like, I'm not even going to go any further because I'm going to end up learning about light patterns and be like, well, oh my God, guys, and talk about light patterns for 10 minutes. No. But I thought that was super interesting. And I figured that you'd really like that fun fact. But
that is very cool.
Now, a year later, in December of 1900, the lighthouse on Eileen Moor on Flannan Isles was operating the way it was designed to. This means that there would have to be three men that would need to be assigned to the station, okay? Now, at the turn of this century, lighthouse keepers, were usually stationed for weeks at a time. There was a lot of these remote stations, like the Flannan Isles, that were used in rotations. So they would also have relief light keepers that would swap in periodically. And the exact timing of that just really depended heavily on the weather. Now, some men worked at the same lighthouses for years. Others would rotate frequently from what I was reading. So if you're working this, you're going to be very much used to long stretches of isolation. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just normal. This is your job. Now, we've got three lighthouse keepers. We've got the first is the principal keeper was James Ducott. He was in his 40s, he was experienced, and had worked for the Northern Lighthouse Board for years. He was responsible for the overall operation of the station and for keeping everything running on schedule. Now, key word here is that he is experienced. He's been doing this for a minute. The second lighthouse keeper we've got is the second assistant to the principal keeper, which was Thomas Marshall. So we've got James Ducat, hey. Thomas Marshall. Now, Thomas Marshall is a married man with children. He's also very experienced, and he's very well known in this line of work.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got two very experienced men.
They know their shit.
They know their shit. They know what they've been doing. And then we've got our third man, which was Donald MacArthur. Now, he was serving as a relief keeper at the time, filling in temporarily. And from what I was reading, relief keepers were very common, and especially at these type of remote stations. So there's like, he was just kind of coming in as like a sub. So apparently there's always like a sub.
Second string.
Is that what that means? What's that mean?
I was just taking football terms. In other words, you're kind of the backup.
Yeah, the backup to the backup, right?
You're the backup to the main guys.
To the main guys. Yeah, exactly. Now, together, these three men followed a very, very strict routine, which is what I learned when they were manning lighthouses. You have to follow a very, very strict routine, because following the routine would mean safety. It was all about precaution. Now, lighthouses would mean repetitions, and it would reduce mistakes like not lighting the lighthouse in time, right? That's your main job. You got to make sure mm-hmm. that the lighthouse is lit because before nightfall, to help any type of ships that are coming nearby. So that's pretty much their job. Now, in order to maintain this lighthouse, you've got to maintain the fuel. You've got to watch out for the weather. So their days were really structured around, here's this list. Because I'm like, okay, when I read this was 1900, I was like, well, they ain't got no light switches. What are we doing here, right? What are we doing? And I'm also like wondering what kind of games they were playing. If they even had games at all, like 100 years ago. Are they playing Uno or backgammon? I don't know. Yes, I don't know. But their days were structured around cleaning the lamps and lenses, trimming wicks, refilling oil reservoirs, checking mechanical rotation systems, recording weather conditions, cleaning the equipment, and inspecting the landings where the supplies were brought ashore. Now, there are two landings on this island, okay? There's the west and the east, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But all in all to say that if you're not in a routine, if this isn't like all kept up to date every day, then there could be a possibility of a shipwreck, of course, because mm-hmm. if you don't light this lighthouse on time, yeah, exactly. So, and that's the last thing that they want. Now, the work is obviously very repetitive. It's going to be very physical and heavily dependent on the weather. There are rules, from what I was seeing, that are meant to be kept as lighthouse keepers to mm-hmm. keep everybody safe. The rules are at least one man was always supposed to remain inside the lighthouse.
Okay, makes sense.
The light was never meant to be left unattended. And if work needed to be done outside, the other men were expected to stay within sight or sound of one another. Okay, so those are the rules. And knowing these men's background from what I already told you, they're obviously a lot more capable and familiar with the demands of the job.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't like, what
it's
are we doing?
It's not their first time or something like that.
We are experienced. We've been doing this for years and years and years. Another thing that's very important to mention is that there are no reports of conflict between these three men. There's no disciplinary notes. There's no concerns raised during inspections.
I already don't like this, because the fact you're calling this out means some shit's about to go down.
Why can't it just be like a fun story on a lighthouse?
Oh, a fun story. But by the way, before we get into it even further,
I just want to make sure you understand all the details.
They did not have any vendettas against each other.
No, because it's important to know that, right? These three men are going to be spending a lot of time together. A lot of time together in isolation.
Yeah, and as long as the story doesn't go that they end up getting in an argument, fighting, trying to kill each other, somebody disappears, number of different things.
Who knows?
Then, yeah, I would believe that they didn't have anything going against each other without even knowing.
Who's to say that this isn't the story about how the Uno game was invented? You don't know this.
You know what? You'd blow my mind that's actually where this twist is. And that's how they discovered tic-tac-toe.
Because there's three men. One of them was moving the pieces. The other one was calling them out.
Chess
and everything. Yes. Now, during inspections, okay, because that's what I was also reading. I'm like, oh, they also do inspections. Very interesting. What does that even include? Now, the Northern Lighthouse Board would do inspections. So they would be pretty regular and they would be surprise visits. And there was also like performance reviews. Oh, so it's literally like a surprise regular visits. Job.
Oh, I don't even know. I would hate to be that inspector and the whole. So where are you going today? We have to go to this freaking deserted island.
I gotta go to Flannan Isles.
Damn, that sucks. You're gonna have to stay the night there, aren't you? Yep. There's not shit there.
I also feel, you know what's funny? Because to me, I'm like a surprise visit and you're on an island. It's like, how much of a surprise is it really? Because I need to let you on.
Yeah,
I need
to let you on. One person's always on guard.
Right.
Well, on watch more or less in the lighthouse. The minute I'd see a boat, I'd be hollering to the rest of the guys, clean the fucking kitchen up. Get everything looking nice. The inspector's here.
Literally, though, literally is exactly how I envision it. Also, I just feel, and then, you know, by the time you notice it, you've got like probably 30 minutes before they.
True.
They probably get there. For all I know, I don't really know. I'm just making up shit in my head. But when Superintendent Robert Muirhead visited the island on December 7th of 1900, he found the station in very good order. He spoke with the men and he left that same day. Now, when he came, he saw that the men were doing their jobs, that the station was functioning properly, that there were no concerns at the time. So he was like, all right, nothing really to suggest there to be a worry or any type of urgency or nothing going on. So after that visit, the routine just continued. That's pretty much how that goes. Somebody comes from the Northern Lighthouse Board, and then they just go about their day. They're like,
thank you for listening, Macabre.
No, imagine. Yep, that's it. That's today's episode, friends. Lighthouse keepers continued doing what they always did. You know, typical routine, cleaning, loading, watching, sleeping, hanging, whatever. The official lighthouse book. Okay, logbook, because there is a logbook at these lighthouses and you're supposed to write everything down.
Yeah.
How the weather is, what's going on, how much we use for this and that. You got to keep a whole logbook, okay? Now, the logbook contains entries up to December 13th, and those entries are your typical routine. Now, in the official lighthouse logbooks, they noted wind direction, general conditions, and standard duties that were completed, a checklist and all that. Now, there's literally nothing else on this lighthouse list, this logbook. Nothing, no type of little comments, no like, I miss my wife or I wonder what everyone's up to today. Yeah. Nothing. Like, it's strictly business. It's strictly business on this, okay?
Okay.
Which what I was reading is not unusual. That's just very common. It's a logbook. You know, if you want a journal, bring a journal. Now, what I was reading was usually when weather was rough or the time was limited, lighthouse keepers would often write their readings on a slate rock. So kind of like a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would just end up bringing that chalkboard back in and then they would record on the logbook or whatnot. Because I'm assuming they're going to be out, you know, they're checking the wind direction. Yeah. I don't know all that goes into it, but not everything's going to be done at the lighthouse. They're going to be outside doing stuff on the island. Okay. So it's easier for them to write it down on a slate, on a chalkboard, and then bring it in and then record it later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on December 15th, they wrote the weather measurements on the slate rather than in the main logbook. And they would use barometers, and I know I'm saying that
barometers.
Wrong. Barometers.
Close enough.
Barometers, baby, which helped maintain air pressure from what I was reading. Because when I read it, immediately I was like, what is a barometer? Okay.
Yeah, it's a very common thing for the nautical side.
Yes, which I was reading that if for the TLDR, okay, is if pressure was falling, it usually means bad weather was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But if the pressure would rise, it means that the weather would improve. So the conditions would be improving. So cool. So in 1900s, the barometer.
Yes.
You got to think about it. I'm reading this to myself in my own.
In your own language.
Yeah, my own language. So it's hard for me to step out of that.
The language of Ale.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're not going to the library today, so don't worry. Or the apple orchard or whatever it was. The apple farmer would not. It's so funny. But okay, so in the 1900s, the barometers were one of the best early warning tools that they would use, okay? So this was something that they would watch very closely. So on December 15th, the barometer and the thermometer readings were recorded on the slate, which suggests that the men are still monitor conditions and following the procedure, right? Same thing. Now, at some point in the day on December 15th, the lighthouse was prepared for nightfall. So that means that the lamp is clean, the oil containers are filled, and the machinery is ready to rumbies, okay?
Ready to go.
They're ready to light that bitch up, okay? And as you can imagine, the light is expected to be lit before nightfall. mm-hmm. as usual. But it was not.
Gasp.
What is it that he says in the show Ghosts? Huzzah! He loves a good gasp. Yes. He's like, guys, come on. That was so gasp worthy. Yeah. Huzzah. Okay. Now, what the record tells us, the last formal logbook entry was dated December 13th, right? That I said. Written in the logbook. Information for December 15th and the weather readings for the morning of December 15th were all written on the slate, not transferred yet to the logbook. So that's interesting.
Okay.
Interesting. Now, like I said, you got the barometer, the thermometer, the wind conditions, or whatnot. Now, what I was reading is that in the slate, the last known time was 9 a.m. that they wrote, okay. that they wrote this down. Okay. Now, this is going to tell us something very important, because on the night of December 15th, the passing steamer Arctur sailed near the Flannan Isles, and the captain later reported that he expected to see the lighthouse beaming, but it wasn't. And at the time, this didn't really immediately trigger an alarm, because it was also wintertime, and from what I was reading, could be poor visibility. So they're like, maybe we didn't see it. You know, maybe we just didn't notice it. And on the mainland, lighthouse observers also noted that the Flannan light was not visible on several nights in mid-December. But again, this alone at the time was not enough to like raise serious concern, because there was a lot of severe weather at this point that began to move in. There was a lot of high winds and the rough seas were reported in the region, which also made relief and supply ships be delayed under these type of weather conditions. So between December 15th and December 25th, there was no ship that was able to reach the island. There's no vessel. They're just out there because the weather was so rough, right? Now, remember, they know what they're doing. They've been experienced. They know that there's going to be isolation for weeks.
Yeah.
Now, for more than a week, the lighthouse remained dark. Nobody lit it. Nothing.
Interesting.
By December 26th, the day after Christmas on 1900, so December 26th, 1900, the weather finally allowed a relief ship to reach the Flannan Isles. And they're like, let's go check out what's going on. Plus, from what I was reading, they have to bring like supplies and blah, blah, and all that. So that's kind of like a common thing that they would also do. Now, the ship approached the Eileen Moor, the Flannan Isles, in the daytime. And this is important because relief ships' arrivals also followed a very similar familiar pattern. When a ship would come in, at least one keeper would normally be waiting near the landing. Flags would be raised, signals would be acknowledged, like, yep, come in, we're all set, because they also, the lighthouse keepers are also taking care of the landings, right? They got to throw out, like a rope or something, and, you know, be like this. They're like, beep, beep, beep. But this time, when this relief ship is showing up,
nobody.
Nothing's happening. Nope. None of that happened. No one stood on the rocks. There was no signal raised. There was no flag. Nothing moved on the island. The ship's captain even sounded the horn, but there was no response. He then ordered a distress rocket to be fired toward the island, which, as you can imagine, that's going to be loud.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be loud. And it's going to be like, maybe if like, he shows up, he's like, maybe they're sleeping. Let's wake their asses up, right? It's going to be very unmistakable. Yeah. You're going to hear this. It's meant to alert anybody on shore. Still, nothing. So at that point, they're like, what the hell? That's weird. Clearly, something is going on. So the captain sent Joseph Moore ashore. Now, Joseph was the relieving assistant keeper who had been waiting on the mainland to rotate in with Donald MacArthur. So they were actually going to swap. Okay. And remember, he's the sub.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, what is it, the second pass?
Second string.
Now, he was very familiar with the lighthouse stations and knew what he should expect to find. So again, another experienced man.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what they're doing here. So when Joseph Moore reached the lighthouse and he got on, he noticed immediately that the main door was closed, but it was unlocked.
Okay.
I
mean, inside, sounds normal to me so far.
Okay, so far. Inside, the station was silent. The kitchen showed no signs of it being disrupted. Utensils were clean. Supplies were untouched. The beds weren't made, which suggested that it's not like anybody was sleeping or they were up and working pretty much, right? But nothing appeared like they were in a hurry. There was nothing that looked out of the ordinary. Like Joseph Moore honestly was just like, what the hell is going on in here?
Yeah.
So he goes to check the light itself, and he noticed that the lamp had also been cleaned.
Okay.
Okay. The oil containers were full. The machinery was ready to operate. Everything had been prepared to turn on that night, the last night that they had seen it lit. Yeah. Well, the day after. So at this point, Joseph is like, you know what? I searched the lighthouse. Let me start searching the surrounding structures. Now, remembers the lighthouse.
There's literally no evidence of like anyone.
Yeah, no, nothing. But he also noticed no one's there.
Which is also very weird.
Weird. So as it got darker out, because remember when they showed up during the daytime. By this time, the captain ends up making a decision. And he's like, you know, it's too dangerous to leave the lighthouse unattended overnight. So Joseph and a small group of men from the ship remained on the island.
Okay.
That night, the lighthouse was lit again. Now, it was the first time the lighthouse had been on in days since December 14th. Mind you, it's December 26th. It's been a minute. But the three men assigned to keep it are nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Now, Joseph Moore and some men from the ship, they end up staying. Now, their task was to search every accessible part of that island while keeping the light operating, right? Kind of figuring out what happened, where are they? Maybe they're stuck somewhere. We don't know what's going on. So they began near the lighthouse itself. Nothing else while they're on the island was suggesting any type of panic. Like, everything seemed orderly. Like, he went in, the door was closed, but it was unlocked. Utensils were clean. The beds were unmade. Yeah. You know, the lighthouse was ready to be lit. Like, everything was fine and normal. The doors were intact. Nothing was broken down. Even the equipment was stored properly. There were no signs that they even left the island. Nothing. The attention then turned to the landings. Now, remember I said there's two main landings here in the areas that they bring supplies on shore. One was on the east side of the island and the other was on the west. Now, the east landing looked normal. Ropes were in place.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment was stored where it should have been. There was no visible damage whatsoever. But when they checked the west landing, that landing told a whole different story. At the west landing, the men found clear signs of destruction. A large wooden supply box that used to store ropes was missing entirely.
Okay.
Ropes were scattered and tangled around the west landing area. Some were wrapped around the iron railings along the path leading down to the landing. Some of the iron railings had been bent and twisted. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was insane. They also found that a life buoy, which had been mounted high on the cliffside railing, had also been torn away, and the height of the railing was well above the reach of an ordinary wave.
Okay.
So, as you can imagine,
it's starting to sound like something crazy happened. Either it almost sounds like a tidal wave.
Okay.
Or a boat crashed. Right. Or foul play. Okay.
Well, nearby, there was also a very heavy stone weighing roughly about 1 ton from what I was reading, and it actually had been moved from its original position.
Okay.
Yes, this damage is obviously very significant. Very significant because the west landing sat very below a narrow rock channel where waves could be forced upwards there instead of it spreading out. But
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If a wave had hit it, the force required to cause this level of destruction would be very unusual.
Yeah.
We're talking some serious damage here. Okay, so as the search continued, Joseph noticed another detail. He noticed that two sets of waterproof oilskin coats and sea boots were also missing. A third coat had been left behind inside the lighthouse. So there's not three coats inside the lighthouse, there's only one. Two of them are missing. Now, this suggested that two men had maybe gone outside dressed for the rough weather, while the third one left was inside the house, right? Or maybe, since we can't find this third one, maybe that third lighthouse keeper left quickly without taking time to put on
anything,
his gear. Now, there are no footprints that they can find. There's no blood. There's no tools abandoned like mid-task, right? There's no evidence of where the three men were or what even could have happened. But below the cliffs, the sea was very deep and violent. Of course, they're on this island. And as you can tell, like they said, the weather was really bad. But the weather was really bad after. Remember, the reason why they couldn't come was because the weather was so bad, and it was after the 15th. So if the men had been swept into the water, as you can imagine, recovery most likely is going to be
probably
unlikely.
Deemed impossible.
Deemed impossible, yes. So by December 28th of 1900, just 2 days later, Joseph documented all these findings and sent word to the mainland. And 2 days later, a formal investigation began. The next day, on December 29th, Superintendent Robert Muirhead, he arrived on Eileen Moore on Flannan Isles to formally investigate the disappearance himself. He had investigated the lighthouse and the island alongside the notes that Joseph Moore recorded, and he found the same findings. He's like, everything that Joseph said is exactly what I found. Everything is still remains orderly. The lamp had been prepared correctly. Fuel levels were normal. There was no signs of distress or struggle. So Robert focused his attention on the west landing where the damage was most severe. So after examining the bent railings and the stone that's like 1 ton moved.
Yeah. I mean, it's now if I'm him and I'm looking at this, now my mind's going to, did one of them go to retrieve something, fall in, and then that then led to the second guy that was out because they have to stay in that distance of hearing each other? Was that second guy, he already had his jacket on, hence why there were two jackets off. Was he there, then saw that occur, run to try to aid him, then the guy in the lighthouse sees, and then ran.
Okay, but what would he have been retrieving?
I don't know.
Why would he do that? These are experienced lighthouse keepers. This is like rule number one, you don't.
Well, maybe they were upkeeping the landing or something. Like, that's where my mind's going.
Okay. That's a good, that's a good
that
point.
Because you said that they kept the landing, and if they know that there's weather coming in, maybe they're trying to secure down their stuff to where they made sure, hey, we're going to have waves come in. We don't want to lose our stuff, our ropes and whatnot that are on this dock. We should make sure it's secured.
Could be. Very much so. Could be, for sure. I mean,
that's just my theory.
I know, but you also got to think about it. I would assume where they're keeping the stuff isn't literally down by where
ships are coming.
Until a ship were to come, they'd probably bring it. Because there was a box with the supplies in it.
Yeah.
So where is that?
A lot of docks that I know are set up, and for the most part, ropes are kept right there.
Yeah. But you got to think about it. We're on an island.
This is on a cliff. True.
So it would be silly to put it down below where maybe a wave could get it, to be quite honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, until you see somebody come in, then you'd actually come down and prepare the landing.
Let's just go. Let's see what happened.
So he concludes that the destruction was most likely caused by extreme sea conditions. That's what he concludes. He also noted the missing two oilskin coats and the boots were gone. One coat was left behind. And because of this, this supported the idea that the two men went outside, prepared for bad weather, while a third one followed quickly, like you said. And after reviewing the logs, the weather records, and the physical evidence, Robert ends up agreeing with Joseph Moore's assessment that the men had most likely been lost while attempting to secure equipment during severe conditions and were just taken by a wave or by the sea. Now, there is no evidence of foul play, and there's no indication of... There's no mechanical failure at the lighthouse, nothing else, right? So the case was officially closed as an accidental loss. But the record, as you can imagine, left questions. Lots of questions that could not be answered. So once the investigation closed, the official record became very clear about one thing. There was no final explanation for how all three men ended up outside at the same time. Because why?
I know. My theory is
the only thing
that would make sense.
For decades. Yeah, but let's say you...
Unless they see a body or something and they're like, oh my God, there's somebody in the water.
We must help. Now, the logs, obviously, like I said, they don't describe any type of panic or fear or confusion. They didn't record a violent storm on that final day, which is another thing that you need to take into account. If it was a violent storm, if it was really bad weather and a bad wave, they had recorded that morning.
It would have been record. It would have been recorded.
It would have been record, but it would have been recorded on the slate.
That's true. That's true.
Inside the lighthouse, nothing suggested that the men believed anything was really wrong until the moment that they disappeared. Okay, we don't really know how quickly this even unfolded. We don't know what drew out the third man. We don't know who went outside first. We don't really know much. There was never any bodies that were recovered. There was no clothing that ever washed ashore, and there was no personal items that were ever resurfaced, right? The record doesn't explain where the men went after they entered the sea, what happened with that. Nothing, literally nothing, which means that there's a lot of theories that start circulating.
Hit me with them theories.
Okay, now here's the thing, right? Because all I have to say, when I was reading this story, it's very, very fascinating. Because if, let's say you're on this lighthouse, one guy goes out, guy one goes out, let's say he does get swept away by, or he needs help or whatnot, right? Then you've got guy number two. Let me help him, sure. Why would guy number three go out and try to help if he knew he would also be posing himself at risk? You
because
see what I'm saying?
That's what a true man does back at this time.
No, facts, for sure, 100%. Mm-hmm. I totally get what you're saying.
And that's why they use so many ropes, because my thought process, right? Hey, to prevent me from getting swept away, let me quickly tie this rope. They know all these types of knots.
Yeah.
Let me tie it around this or this, that way I can get in the water and at least I have something securing me to the dock. Yeah. I can pull my way back in.
Right. But
case closed.
At that point, why wouldn't you send a distress signal first?
That's a great point. However,
these are experienced keepers.
I know. It's the 1900s, so I don't know what kind of distress signals they'd be able to send.
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. That's a good question.
Where my theory is going. You don't, at this time, more than likely, the only type of communication they had with mainland would have potentially been Morse code.
Well, from what I was reading, because that's a good point, too. I'm not entirely sure what kind of distress signals they did have. But from what I was reading, they did have something that they could have sent as like a warning or like an emergency signal that would be sent or something, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like, interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Because I know the technology we have now,
it would be obvious. I mean, you can't even.
But I'm also thinking 1900. I mean, they strictly only had foghorns, bells, and cannons. The earliest and only some stations may have had a wireless telegraph, which is your early radio.
Which
is Morse code.
Which is Morse code. Okay. That makes sense. Now, from what they did have, they had signal flags. They had, like you said, the rockets and the flares, okay? So that would mean that it's only would be only useful if somebody was nearby.
Nearby, yeah. That's the thing. Interesting. Even if they had the Morse code, I don't know how much you know about Morse code, but it's literally beep, 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 beep,
beep,
beep,
beep.
So you're telling me...
No, but you know what? Go. What are you going to say? Go.
You're telling me I'm the third guy. I'm watching one guy already in the water, another guy struggling to save him, and I'm going to take the time out of my day to try to go beep, 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 beep.
You scared me. Oh my God, you scared me so bad.
You didn't hear me clicking?
I did, but like I didn't understand it.
I'm doing all that, right?
Yeah.
As fast as I can.
Yeah, but you...
Hold on.
But you should set... Okay. Go.
The way Morse code works is every time I'm clicking, that is instantly going across.
Yeah, okay.
So you're telling me I'm going to be clicking because each one was a letter.
No, I know. Yeah, I totally know what Morse code is.
So I'm sending SOS at the least. And then, no, I'm probably not even going to bother touching it. I'm going to probably try to run out because I'm thinking in my mind... Every second I spend trying to send something is another second that they could be struggling even more and that by me taking an extra second, I could take an extra second away from
purveying. I get what you're saying, but I feel like
that's
these
just my
are
thought.
No, I know, but these are experienced lighthouse keepers. They're not first.
But
off,
how
so
often
when
do
when
you
would
train
he
for
when
this?
Would he let's say that's the say the first guy does go, when is he going to do that? Oh, let me spend my time now contacting SOS. You should at least be sending out or maybe mm-hmm. light the lighthouse
well, again,
early.
But that's where I'm thinking that maybe the first guy went out just and it was supposed to be a strict just this is just a normal, we're securing the landing, mm-hmm. we're checking the landing. Supposed to be just chill. Routine. These guys are experienced. Every day mm-hmm. feels like a normal
so,
thing.
Okay, so what's your theory? That one of them went out, gets hit by, somehow gets taken by a wave. The
or
other one's,
yep.
second man is trying to help him.
Yes.
Third man comes out, everybody gets taken. That's
yes.
your theory? That's your official theory?
That's my official theory.
For the three experienced lighthouse keepers?
For the three, yes, because I personally... You're an experienced lighthouse keeper, but how often are you training for this? You're training for...
What do you mean they're experienced lighthouse keepers?
On.
This is their one main...
I know, I get it. I
...problem
just,
that could occur out of
I,
everything that they
well,
could probably be prepared
to me,
for.
To me, I feel like as a lighthouse keeper, what you're training for, your training is more of, what if the lamp doesn't light? What if this isn't clean? What if a ship's coming right at the island?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That to me is
valid,
your training.
Valid, okay.
Not a...
But you don't think that they
if,
wouldn't they
if
wouldn't
a guy
know?
Just washes out, I think they might know, but I also feel like you put anyone in a situation like that, same thing with cruise ships. Think of how many people are captains of a cruise ship for years and years and years.
And there's protocols,
and
yeah.
There's protocols. Somebody goes overboard and it's almost
there's
instant.
Protocols.
And you're like... Well, you would think you're an experienced person. You would know. But
yeah.
Again, in those situations, I think even as you're running through your protocol, I think there's certain things that still occasionally will get overstepped because it is a, hey, I've trained for this, but I've never had to do it for real life.
I get that. 100% agree with what you're saying because that
it's
is a valid.
Life or death, fight
no,
or flight.
But exactly. It's life or death. So you're going to take the route of... potentially also killing yourself and everybody else on the island.
In my opinion,
the other keepers.
And this is nothing against our men today. I just feel like guys of this generation were a lot more, you did, it was very masculine.
Oh,
and
you mean
very,
like back
like,
then?
Oh,
okay,
we
yeah,
just,
yeah.
You risked it. If you knew you were going to die, that was part
well,
of it.
Well, this is your job. This is
exactly.
your life. Yeah, no, I get it.
To save somebody like that. I don't think it was a, I really want to get home. It was more of a, I mean, I've spent
no,
days
that's not
and
what
days.
I'm saying. Oh, oh. I'm just saying that you're now putting your life. So you're pretty much like leaving no other solution. You get what I'm trying to say?
I get it.
I see what you're saying too. And this is what makes the story insane.
I know.
Because we're going to talk theories because you're going to literally be like, oh, I could see that too. Man, I could see that too. There's like an abundance of. Things that could have happened. Let me talk theories, okay?
All right, let's hit it.
The first and most widely accepted explanation
is mine.
Is the one recorded by the Northern Lighthouse Board itself. Their official explanation was that there was a rogue wave at the West Landing, right? Two men went down to the West Landing to secure equipment during the conditions that were worsening, okay? And the third remained inside at first, as protocol required. But then when something went wrong, he followed quickly. Why are you laughing?
Because that's exactly
that's
what
exactly
my theory
what
was.
That's exactly what you said. Yes, he followed quickly, leaving his oilskin coat behind. A sudden and unusual powerful surge of water swept across the landing and pulled all three men into sea. Makes sense. This mm-hmm. explanation obviously very much aligns. Could, well,
also, what the
most
hell
likely
is
aligns
an oil
with
coat?
The physical damage.
Oil
of the
coat.
West Landing. I would assume it's like a slick ass raincoat. That shit, like, it's probably got Rain-X on it. Is it a slick ass coat?
Kinda. Can you see it? It almost looks like a. It looks like a cowboy slicker raincoat.
Dude, that looks like the coats that the detectives on L.A.
No.
Noir wore.
L.A. Noir?
Yeah. What did I say?
L.A.
I said oh, L.A.
I can't remember how you said it now.
Oh,
but
I did. I was like L.A. Noir.
I think that. No, this is the coat that if anyone's watched Indiana Jones, I think it's the Temple of Doom or Lost.
I've never seen it, but I know exactly what you're
whatever,
talking about.
That's the coat Indiana Jones
I know
wears.
Exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, so that is their official accepted
oil
addiction.
Coat.
Oh no, not the
oh,
oil
oh,
coat.
Sorry.
That's their theory. There was a rogue wave yes. at the West Landing. Okay. Now, obviously, this version of the theory, or like what it is that they explain, which honestly to me, I'm like, I read it, I was like, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Had to have been a rogue wave.
Facts.
No, it had to be, because I feel like it was.
It's a ton bolder. Unless you had all three
how
guys
do you explain
go.
That?
Unless all three guys said, let's have a suicide pact and we'll make it look crazy because we'll push this 1-ton boulder down.
Well, I just feel like the ton boulder is so random. But I don't know. I'm also, another thing you got to think about, right? When you're at, okay, when you're in this type of scenario, adrenaline, anything could happen, okay? But in this version, right, one man is taken first from a wave, somebody else comes to help. Mm-hmm. So that kind of explains why all three would be eventually outside.
Yeah, and that also, to me, explains more of, too, why everything was prepped, everything was perfect.
Right, so it's kind of like, oh, shit, this came in last minute.
Exactly. Okay. It wasn't,
but
you know.
The thing is, there is also no direct evidence 100% confirming this theory. So that's also the problem that we draw
that.
To.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's the other problem that you get into, so that's why you get into theories. But The thing is, though.
What's the other theories?
I just can't get over the protocol. I would think that I would send an SOS first before I would end up going out. Or I would go check out the dilemma and be like, holy shit.
Hear me out.
SOS.
What if he also did send an SOS? What if he had sent an SOS using the telegram and it did not actually connect or anything? Because you got to think, this is the earliest years of this type of wireless technology.
Who knows? That's true. That could be another possibility. You know? 100%. 100%.
So
100%. Now, another theory is that the men were obviously, like I keep saying, very experienced, very familiar with harsh conditions, because you were like, well, they're not used to this. They are familiar with these harsh conditions.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a lighthouse keeper, you're going to be by the ocean. Yeah. You're going to be used to this. You're going to know these protocols. So I know you were like, no, they're used to this. This is a part of their job. So maybe they were overconfident. Maybe they were like,
I could see that.
Yeah, maybe they believed that the situation was actually manageable, and then when they got there, it wasn't, and that's actually where the rogue wave came, and it was actually bigger than they anticipated. Valid point. That's another valid point.
I like that.
Because you got to think about it. These aren't amateurs. That's where I draw to immediately. Where I'm like, yeah, but like, we're not talking about, it's my first day at my lighthouse keeper job. This is my first station. We're talking, we've been doing this my whole life. This is my job, okay? They're trained. They're trained at this, okay? They work dangerous conditions regularly. It's hard for a lot of people, a lot of people to wrap their brain around that.
I think I am able to look at it a little differently in that aspect of thinking it could just be an oh shit moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, hear me out.
Yeah, 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 facts, okay.
There's so many tragic incidents that we've seen in the world that occurred, unfortunately, by somebody that was extremely trained, years of experience, that you would never expect to run into this
issue.
That's
a good point. It kind of reminds me of when we did the Mount Everest episode, and I forgot exactly who it was, but one of the leaders of the expedition ended up staying behind, even though he knew the risk of dying.
Yes. But it was the one that went back up to try to.
Yes. And the whole time everybody's like, you're so experienced. Like he was so experienced. Why? He knew the possibility.
He knew every second.
And it's like, so 100%. I totally agree with what you're saying.
And I think
too.
That's where I'm saying it. Cause the prime example, SEAL Team 6, they had one helicopter go down. Think of the amount of training those guys put into using that technology, flying those helicopters, understanding how the airlift was going to affect, understanding this and that, what could go wrong.
Right.
And yet they still, in their biggest moment, had one helicopter go down.
Go down, I know. That's what I mean. I'm like, I totally get it because I see your point and then I see it in the other way. I'm like, but damn, they're experienced lighthouse keepers.
I know.
It's hard for me to get away from that. A lot of people, though. It's not just me.
I think I put myself in the shoes of trying to be that, thinking of if I was a masculine man in the 1900s.
Right.
Because this is a
I'm here to help. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you see their mustaches, too. This is a tough blue
collar.
I'll post photos. Man job.
Yeah. No, this is like.
Like, these are. I don't.
PTO days here.
I can't remember the exact reason these guys got the term, but I know back in, I want to say it's the coal miners used to get the term, and I could be completely wrong, so please don't crucify me. It was called the, they were called leathernecks. And it was the hardest freaking working. I'm just going to look it up real quick.
Oh, were they kind of like the category that society deemed to be like the roughest?
So a leatherneck is a long standing respected nickname for a member of the, it's a member of the United States Marine Corps.
Oh, wow.
And
that's cool.
Historically, the British Royal Marines. It refers to a stiff black leather stock or collar that was part of the Marine uniform between 1775 and 1875.
Well, look at that. That's
interesting.
So
that's the story behind.
Okay.
But the whole thing behind it is you have the toughest.
Right. It's just like you've got
dudes.
Yeah.
And
like they're not pussyfooting around.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so if you see somebody, I think that's where I try to put myself in the shoes of kind of what you were saying. I think I'm a tough ass man. I can't pussyfoot around. I gotta go rescue these guys.
Right. No. That's 100%. And that's my thing too, that you saying that makes sense, because it also makes me think, which leads to another theory. It makes me think these are three men that are spending a lot of time together alone. So that means that they're also forming a bond.
Exactly.
They're also forming a friendship. They're forming a lot of things. They're probably
confiding
in each other.
You got to keep stories. You got to keep each other company.
Exactly. Who's gonna talk to? You know what I mean? So they're probably forming a bond, which leads to another theory.
Okay, hit it.
The Brokeback Mountain theory.
Oh, no. Are you shitting me?
Yes, that is a theory.
Oh, no.
Yes. Which I know Joe kind of entertained that theory.
Heated rivalry on the freaking lighthouse.
Dude, I love that show. I can't.
What the hell?
Yes, at the lighthouse. Brokeback Mountain at the lighthouse. Now, for those of you who don't know what Brokeback Mountain is, I feel like that is kind of like an old... We've got Jake Gyllenhaal. We've got Heath Ledger.
Oh, no.
Two icons, okay? I raw dogging it on a movie, and I love it. I love it so much. I'm a sucker for a good love story, and what a hell of a love story. Okay, if you guys haven't seen Brokeback Mountain,
I just
know.
Can't accept this theory. It feels so out of left field.
Out of left field, I know, because you're like, well, it's probably a rogue wave.
They're like, fuck it. You know what would be really kinky?
I like you.
Let's
you
go
like
have
me.
Sex on the landing while like the storm's me. Rolling in.
Well, you don't know. Okay, first off, it could have been a rogue wave that hit the landing and that, you know, that just happened. Or maybe, no. Let me tell you this theory, okay? Because in later retellings, there's a theory that they were lovers, Brokeback Mountain lovers,
okay?
Now, the only
reason
why I keep saying Brokeback Mountain is because of the movie, okay? So... And I love that movie. I think it's such a great love story. But either two or three men were romantically involved, okay, and they staged their disappearance and escape together. Hence why the landing looked the way that it did, okay? Now, the damage was either staged or it just so happened to have happened, because I know we're talking about the one-ton stone. So, yeah, that is a big, major, major thing, right? But there is no evidence of any of the men knowing each other prior to the assignment. And two out of three of the men were already married with family. So, a little highly unlikely. But,
I mean,
so was Brokeback Mountain.
You know?
So was Brokeback. I'm a sucker for a good love story. I get it. After watching Heated Rivalry, I'm a sucker
All
for
right.
a good love story. Okay.
Theory two and the books.
The books, Brokeback Mountain.
What's the next one?
Another theory was that some have theorized that maybe there was a sudden mechanical issue with that drew the men outside. Like maybe something did go wrong and that's why the men were like, oh shit, maybe there's a malfunction inside the lighthouse. And it was kind of consistent with that. And they fixed it right before everything happened.
So that
could be one of them. Okay. There are some other theories. One of the other theories, too, is that they all must have gotten into a fight. Now, one of the men, it was Donald MacArthur. He was known for having a very, very short temper.
I mean, I can understand.
Yes.
He's the shortest.
He is the shortest out of all three. But... It was one of the theories that they must have gotten into a heated argument, and that kind of led to one thing next to another, and maybe he, I don't want to say him specifically, but maybe one of them killed the other by accident, and then they're kind of fending each other off, and then it kind of led to a situation where all three of them are dead now.
Yeah.
So that was one of the theories that was, which is also like a plausible theory.
Yeah.
That could have also happened.
Also, can we just stop for a second and bring back.
Brokeback Mountain?
As men, can we dress like freaking men again? Look at the uniforms. These are work uniforms for blue collar men. They're in a 5-piece suit. I'm talking vest, tie, you wanna,
oh, you're talking watch. Like Titanic time?
Yes, but
like
I'm just
wearing a whole.
But my whole thing is, guys used to dress up,
okay,
and now
that's what you're
we've
saying.
Lost
yes.
it. Everyone's in t-shirts, shorts, and nobody puts effort into
gray
to
sweatpants 24/7.
Yes,
slippers. I know, I get what
yes.
you mean. I do like a nice little, you know, you gotta go to work.
You look good, you
look
feel
your,
you,
yes.
You look good, you feel good.
Look good, you feel good. You play
and
good.
I get it. People, not everyone's cup of tea is dressing up. I'm just
but
saying.
Also, dressing up is different for everybody. Like it
I was gonna say
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That, but also, there's comfortable ass ways to dress up. Let me
yeah,
tell you.
Facts. That's so true. 100%. No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean because you do a good job with that. I really like that.
Ali has to argue for me to really get into a comfy outfit.
No, I do.
Because I'll tell her.
You know how badly I want him in a comfy outfit?
I'll be in a button up and everything. And those, like that mix, that combination, oh, I'm comfy. I'm cozy, especially give me a quarter zip on top. Damn. That is a nice, warm outfit. All
and
the linens,
not,
clothing.
You're not doing it over. You're not overdoing
exactly.
it. Yeah, I totally get it. I totally
Let's
get it.
Let's bring it back.
Bring it back. Some other theories that we've got here involve either ghosts or spirits, because the Flannan Isles was already kind of associated with a religious burial. Mm. Maybe it had some type of energy to it before, right? From back in the day, from ancient times,
okay,
religious
okay.
times. Okay. So some writers, from what I was seeing, claim that the island was cursed or haunted, and some stories suggested that the men maybe were taken rather than killed. Which kind of leads to another theory that maybe they were kidnapped. Maybe there were pirates that came by and abducted the men on the men on the island. Maybe, but there's still no evidence. There's really no evidence on anything else. Like everything I've told you already, that's all the evidence we've got. These are just theories that people are theorizing that. So it's like,
who knows?
It's a thought.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was lover pirates.
Shut up. let the Brokeback Mountain theory live. I love it. I'm here for it, okay? Now, another theory that I thought was really, really interesting. In folklore retellings, okay, there is a theory that it could have been a sea monster tied to some maritime legends.
The Kraken?
Maybe. Maybe.
I like this theory.
And also, I know I like that theory because also I feel that it kind of, what else could move a wonton?
A wonton?
A 1-ton rock. You know what I mean?
True, true.
To me, I see like, I could see the Kraken like covering
it.
Like.
I get that. I don't know about everybody else, but when I get on a cruise ship, I do ask Poseidon to bless the seas and let us have nice calm seas and just be nice. Because I mean, okay. He's the ruler of the sea, the ocean, the waters.
I mean, also, what's it going to
you know?
Hurt? What's it going to hurt?
Who knows? Maybe one of these guys was talking some shit, and then Poseidon was like,
well, that's my thing,
done.
Too. I feel like if this is going to be your job, your career, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how these men were, I'm just assuming, we obviously don't know them, but they must have had some type of respect with the ocean.
Oh, 100%.
They had to. You can't just
you
go out
to.
Here. You're literally three measly men
yes.
against
the
literally
the ocean.
Yeah. So you have to have some type of respect.
I
and
agree,
some type
yeah.
of. So to me, I'm also like,
so maybe
you're
that
at,
makes
you're
the Brokeback Mountain theory even stronger for you.
It's at its mercy. You're at its mercy if you're out there. That's how I feel when we're on a cruise ship. Like anytime I'm on a cruise ship, I'm like, I'm at the ocean's mercy at this point. I try not to think about it because I literally, my anxiety like derails, but I really think about it that way sometimes because I'm like, oh my God, nothing's really keeping me. The only thing keeping me from being in the water right now is this ship. And
that's
I've
true,
seen
that's true.
I've seen the show Poseidon. I mean, I've seen the movie Poseidon, and I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. But yeah, so that's essentially was their theories.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think honestly the most plausible one it could have been a rogue wave. Most likely was a rogue wave for sure. For me personally, I like the Brokeback Mountain theory.
I wonder why.
I think it's a great love story if they did escape together, and I mean, good for them.
What if, oh my goodness, what if it was Brokeback Mountain, but with Hunting Wives, and the third guy, they were all, well, he's the past, we have to kill him, and then they killed him and took him off and tossed.
I mean, it could be. That's what the theory in the Brokeback Mountain was, either two of them were in love or it was a three. But also they didn't know each other. Like, there's no record of them knowing each other.
I feel like we could spend hours going through different theories on this one.
No, you really could.
I mean, it's literally an island, and almost anything truly could have happened to these guys.
Well, that's what makes this story an unsolved mystery, because it's been unsolved, and that's what makes it so fascinating, because of the fact that everything that you do know and then leading up to it, and then to find out that they just disappeared and there's really nothing. Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
I was reading an article. I forgot exactly where. I definitely put it in my sources, but I forgot exactly which article I read. But they were talking about how the wind was actually facing towards the island. So if there was a body, it should have washed up ashore.
It
would have
kept it against the shore.
But that's my thing too. It's like, who knows? Who knows? Mm-hmm. So really, at the end of the day, we don't really know what ended up happening to these three lightmen. These three lighthouse keepers. Oopsie. Clearly the wine has gotten to me. But we really don't really know what happened in the end. And we just have all these theories to go about it. But it is one of the most, like, unsolved mysteries based off of this.
It's honestly really interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And the fact that also Donald MacArthur was known for his short temper, that also could be... Okay, which, by the way, also, have you ever seen the movie The Vanishing? It's got Gerald Butler.
Yes.
That was actually based off of this.
I want to rewatch it, though, because I feel like I saw that forever ago, and now hearing this story...
For sure.
Because, I mean, I don't know about everyone else. I love Gerard Butler. He is
such
a good
spectacular
actor.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I watched it recently because I was researching for this episode. And I'm like, I wonder what theory they're going to take. Because, again, this story, really, it's kind of, you take with it what you will. Everybody's going to have
Don't tell
their...
me, because I got to watch
no,
it.
No, I don't want to tell you. If you want, we can watch it after this episode.
All right. Yeah. Audience, you got to go watch it.
You'll definitely like it. But I was as pleasantly surprised to see the theory that they went with, because I was also, knowing what I know already the whole time, I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder how they're going to go about it. And the whole time I'm watching the movie from the beginning, I'm like, oh my God, I think they're taking this route. Oh no, I think they're taking this route. Oh no, they're going this route. And then I see you having these moments. No, I was having these moments by myself. Yeah. And at my desk, literally searching all this up. But I was having those emotions and I'm like, oh my God, which way are they going to go? And I was pleasantly surprised with that movie. So if you guys want to go see it, it's called The Vanishing. Gerald Butler is on it. I forgot where I watched it exactly. I think it was either Tubi or Pluto, but it was free.
At this point, everybody's got everything. So.
Yeah. It was free, though. It was free. Like, if you Google it and you search it up, you could watch it. It was a really good movie, to be honest. Great acting. The actors were amazing. And if I'm not wrong, they filmed it on the actual island.
Really?
I'm not entirely sure, but my God, it looked just like the island. Like, I deadass was thinking, damn, is this the fucking Flannan Isles? I could have sworn it was. But yeah, go check it out. Let us know what you think. And also let us know what your theory is, because
yes.
I'm fascinated to know what everybody's thinking. And I've gone online. Like, I've gone on Reddit. I've gone on forums to see what everybody else also has a thought. A lot of people do think it's a rogue wave. Some other people believe. Oh my God, yeah. We'll put a poll down below. Let us know what it is. What kind of theory you guys think it could be. Because, I mean, I don't know. Could it have been a sea monster? Maybe. Could it have been Brokeback Mountain? Maybe. Could it have been a rogue wave? Maybe. Was there a mechanical issue that they actually went out to try to solve and it didn't work out? And then everything kind of led that way. Either way, let us know. Let us know. That is our episode for today, friends. We hope you enjoyed it. And what do you think, Tom?
I gotta say, loved it.
Yes.
I thought it was a great episode.
Very interesting.
I loved hearing your perspective as well as we were going in on the one theory that ended up actually being what they ended up ruling it as. So I love to hear kind of your aspect, your thought process too, because I'm thinking of it from the very...
You're thinking of it from your perspective. Obviously, that's
exactly.
And that's the whole point of the
theories.
And I
love, because even in that one theory... there's able to be two sides of it.
Two sides. So, exactly. Like when you were telling me how you were seeing it, I was like, yeah, but then I was seeing it a different way. It's just a fascinating, it's one
I
of
love
the,
it.
And that's what I was going to say it. Earlier. The only reason why I didn't mention it, remember last year at some point, I ended up buying this calendar of unsolved mysteries from, what is it? History. The History Channel.
Was this one on
it? This was one of them. This is how I learned about it. And I know like BuzzFeed Unsolved also covered this episode, but I guess I never really connected the two. But I bought this calendar that I put on my desk and it has a bunch of unsolved mysteries. So every day it's a different mystery. And I'm kind of like going through it after every day. And I'm like, yo, what is this? This is interesting. And that's how I found this one.
I see.
That's how I found this one. But that is the episode for today, friends. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
And if you have a story that you'd like to share with us that's strange, sinister, and downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you think it may be,
Max,
please email it our way at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or jump over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured on an upcoming listener episode. We've already done like two or three this year, so.
Yeah, I think only one so far. No, it's because we did the listener stories. That's
yeah,
why
listener
you were
stories,
like, yeah.
And then
we. Please send them in. Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, friends. Bye.
Deuces. Did you see how I wound that up?
You always wind it up. Wind it up. Imagine. Bye, guys.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.